the blood, the east and the west, the battle won't matter. Only the music can settle the score. Run till you die. Run till you die. You die alone, then turning to bone. So run till you die. Yeah, balls should protect my eyes, and when they eat my flesh, but I got the power.
What's up? It's Greg Sestero here to introduce you to the True Blue Riffcast, where they talk about amazing movies, bad movies, and everything in between. So you're listening to the True Blue Riffcast. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Greg. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one Riff Tracks podcast in the world. I am Jeremy, and I am joined, as always, by...
What's up? I'm Dave. Just barely slided in with the unmute just in time. I was not. I thought we had a lot longer. I just hear. You guys don't know. First of all, we had an epic pre-show.
Oh, man.
That basically could have been the show. So much stuff you guys are never even going to know about what was discussed.
That's probably a good thing, though.
I may try to recreate some of it, but it was pretty spontaneous. It was pretty great. Just know she missed out. What was I saying? Then Jeremy comes in and be like, oh shoot, I gotta unmute because I can't hear before the show starts. Yeah. I can't hear the song. I can't hear Greg Sestero. I can't hear any of that. So the only way I know we're going live is when Jeremy, because before, when I would like walk around the park and do this, before I showed my face on the stream, Jeremy used to tell me, like, oh, 1 minute, Dave, 30 seconds, Dave. He doesn't do that anymore. Now it's just be like, oh, hey, we're live.
Apparently I'm typing too loudly.
I'll just bust your balls.
It's a new keyboard. I'm still getting used to it.
Is it one of them glowy ones? Does it light up when you like type boobs?
It doesn't light up just when I type boobs. It's lit up the whole time, but it's just behind the keys. It's not like, it's just through the keycaps that the light comes.
Oh, okay.
So it's easy. Is
it like
for me
multicolored?
To type in the dark. No, it's just green.
Oh, okay. How
I'm not,
boring.
I'm not a fancy gamer like that.
You're not going to get any tips on Uber if you don't have cool lights like under your car
or like around the seats.
Yes.
Like, in the interior.
Or if you like, or if you like have like water bottles and like M&Ms and dumb shit like that.
Snacks I've never for everybody.
But like we'd like some snacks, fatty, on your way to your shift at Walmart. On your way to the airport while your wife flirts with me the whole way.
If you weren't with us yesterday when we were live,
yes,
go to Dave's YouTube channel and check that little video clip out that he posted. But speaking
well, I can
of
tell
yesterday,
it again, like super quick.
Yeah, go ahead. You do that.
Okay,
and I'll
get
this ready.
Yeah, just so that we can like make this canon in the podcast. So I do my day job is I do a ride share for a ride share service that rhymes with Goober. And so I get a reservation at 24th Street and Lincoln in Ogden. And it's for, like, we'll just say that the guy's name is Brandon because it was a man's name. Keep everybody's identity private. It was Brandon. Okay. And it's to the airport. I know that. So I pull up into the thing and I'm just sitting there doing my thing on my phone, just like, you know, looking at stuff. That door opens and a woman gets in. And the first thing she sits down. First thing she says to me. Now I'm thinking like, oh, it's one of these. It's, you know, like sometimes people will call a ride share for their wife or somebody else. And sometimes the genders do get mismatched. And it's just kind of a jar. Like, oh, I guess I'm doing this. I guess I thought it was something like that. She gets in, sits down, and she's very attractive. She's blonde, very smiley, like, you know, one of those. And she's like, first thing she says, oh my gosh, I didn't expect my Uber driver to be so handsome. And I'm just like, what?
Keeping in your pants.
It happens. It happens. People will hit on you. But like a lot of times it's not so blatant.
Yeah.
And before time, I had like even processed going on. This door opens and her husband gets in like right behind me, sits down. That boom, boom, that door closes, that door closes. So like, oh, geez. And so I was like, so, you know, I put my phone right there. It's like, so, are we ready to go to the airport? And she's like, oh, like, we're ready. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I pull out, and it's a 40-minute ride from Ogden to the Salt Lake Airport. And the whole time, dude girl back here is being super fun and flirty with me the entire time. And she's just like asking me like all kinds of questions. Like she is like way into me and wanting to know all about me and like what it's like to drive Uber. And this is like my own, like, wow, oh my gosh. And like, just like when you're an Uber driver, you're kind of expected, certain people expect you to like, you know, be like a lore monkey and have like stories from your life. So like my life story did come up. She asked about that. And she's like, well, have you always been here? And I was like, well, I was in the army for a long time. She's like, oh, you were in the army? Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for your service. You must have been so brave. And dude boy behind me, not stone faced, not saying a word. He's just looking out at the mountains, like, you know, on the way down, the mountains are to the east. He's looking right out that window right there, just the whole time like this. Cause I looked, I was just like, you know, he's just back there like this the whole time. So clearly, these two are fighting and she's using me as a way to get to him. Right. So, yeah. I mean, like, what do you do in a situation like that? Because like, what, like, I mean, it'd be like, no, sorry, lady, you know, like you can't talk to me. Your husband's very upset. I feel bad for him. So we get to the airport. You know, but okay, here we are, have a flight. And she's be like, thank you so much. I hope you have a great rest of your day. He gets out, boom, slams the door. She gets out and they F off. And the moral of the story is he didn't leave me a tip. So that was the epic retelling of, it is now canon. It is now True Blue Riffcast canon.
There you go.
That wonderful story.
So yesterday, of course, we were live for the announcement of the Riff Trax live show this year. It is going to be Point Break.
Woo!
With Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. As you can see here, for those of you who are live with us on Twitch, it is currently sitting at $337,000 of a $350,000 goal. It has been a day.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It went live at 2 p.m. No, 3 p.m. Eastern yesterday. And we were live for that, and we were watching it tick up and tick up and tick up. And I think before we were done, we were only on
it was
for
half.
Not we even that long, and it was. It
well,
was
I mean,
over
we were
150,000.
We were on because Jeremy aired.
Yes.
Yes.
I aired on the side of caution, though, because look, we knew it was
That's
coming
okay.
yesterday. I can say that now. We knew it was coming yesterday. I just wasn't sure what time it was coming. And so I figured, well, a lot of this stuff, you know, sometimes goes up at noon Eastern. And so we'll go live a little before that, just in case. And then it didn't. And then I got it. Remember,
and then we
that
figured
it came
out.
Up at
and we're just
Pacific
like, let's
time
stop.
Because, hey, that's where Riff Trax is located, Pacific time. So, but we came on and it dropped and it was a huge
surprise. Oh, yeah.
Surprise.
Our reaction was just like, what?
Very, very big surprise. And this year, instead of doing it in Nashville from the Bell Court, they are going to be doing it live from the State Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which makes sense because it's a lot less travel for the guys, especially for Mike.
Yeah.
And
when was Time Chasers? Because I know they did Time Chasers in Minnesota. And I know
they
did
that
the MST
the Theater also.
And I know they did MST3K Reunion at that theater. You know, maybe that's why, because that theater, I mean, like, we've both been to the Bell Court. Okay,
yeah.
And we both love it, and it's very, 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 very nice, charming venue. But it is smaller than it appears on screen.
Yes, it is
It is a small theater, guys.
It's a standard movie theater, like
yeah. But it's I was just like, oh, this is it. Okay. I mean, not that it not that it wasn't nice, but it was much smaller. Much smaller than I expected. What's it? Oh, Time Chasers was 2016.
Yeah.
So I think that was also the year they did. They must have done. Oh, geez. Give me that. It must have done Time Chasers and MST3K. That so I guess they must have done two shows in Minnesota that year.
Yeah. The State
they did,
Theater.
I
looked at the seating chart and it is huge.
Yeah, it is.
It
because
is massive.
And I think maybe because they have this movie, which is going to bring me into my next point about all this. This movie is pretty big. Like, it's a big deal. Oh, geez. My engine just turned off. Sorry. I guess I didn't tell it not to turn off in time. I thought I did. But what was I saying?
I didn't talk about how big the movie is.
Yeah, this is a big movie, and I think the reason why they're doing it in Minnesota at the State Theater is because this is a pretty big deal.
Oh yeah,
huge deal. I'm trying to think what other movies they've done that could done live that could have been a bigger deal than this. And the list would have to be the list is pretty small.
Yeah,
you would have to go back and think, I mean, like, public domain movies, whatever, who cares? But like Starship Troopers, I think would be the first one that I think could be like, okay, this is a big deal. Maybe The Room, but I don't know.
I don't think The Room. Godzilla might have been.
Godzilla, Anaconda, Mothra, but they did Mothra at the Bell Court. I mean, yeah. like all these other ones, these big deal ones that they got were done at the Belcourt, I believe. Starship Troopers, I believe, was at the Belcourt. I know Mothra was. I think Godzilla was, and I think Anaconda was as well. It's like, and you can tell, like the shows that they've done at the State Theater, they look vastly different than the ones that they've done at the Belcourt. They do a good job inside the Belcourt, as far as production wise. So just to make that tiny room look gigantic.
Yeah. Because you really can't tell how small it is just from watching the live shows.
But, it's a big deal. I mean, like, I think, like, wouldn't it be great if they could get, like, I know we talked about this when they did the announcement, but, man, like, well, Patrick Swayze's obviously dead, so they can't get Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like Apollo Creed, who's going to show up in Creed, because he obviously didn't die in Rocky IV. don't worry about it. But yeah, so I mean, like, wouldn't it be so cool if they get like Keanu Reeves to show up? I mean, like they or Gary Busey, or no, wait, is it Gary Busey or Nick Nolte?
Gary Busey.
Okay, I get those two confused sometimes. Can you blame me?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Was I a talking dog?
So I may have gotten that weekend off. That's the other thing. This takes place, they're recording it on July 27th, which is a Saturday. And then they're broadcasting it on August 8th and August 13th. So they're getting two broadcasts for it, which is exciting in and of itself. And I may have gotten that weekend off from work today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to because, I'm a manager at a movie theater, and that is the same weekend that the only Marvel movie that's coming out this year comes out. The Deadpool and Wolverine movie opens the day before they do this. But I did actually get the time off. May have already booked a hotel and everything.
You're putting a lot. Yeah, this isn't pressure on me at all. Again.
Thankfully, it's not
Nashville this time. It's Minnesota.
Yeah. I don't have to pay until we get there. So that's the only reason I was able to do it. Instead of waiting until later. But it's like two blocks away from the theater. So I'm, it's nice.
I'm trying to remember how long
drive down there and then just kind of park the car a couple days and then drive back home.
How far away was your hotel from Nashville? Not Nashville. How far away was your hotel from the Belcourt?
Literally around the corner.
Mine was a little bit further. I think it might have been like 1 mile, but I walked there. It's not that bad.
I am excited. At least one person aside from Dave that was going to go to the live show last year and didn't. Our friend Margo. Yep, she's going to be there because she lives in Wisconsin, so she's very close.
Wisconsin.
And
this is Hormel country.
Yeah, so
is that Wisconsin?
She'll be there. That'll be fun. Yes, I think so.
Okay. Well, if it's not, it's spiritually Wisconsin.
Yeah, spiritually Wisconsin. So, yeah, if you guys are planning on going, if anyone else is planning on going, I will be there at least. Hopefully Dave will make it this year.
Yes, hopefully. Yes, no promises. But I mean, August is a long way off, so we'll see.
Oh man! But yeah, so there's the Kickstarter for this year. I got lucky. I backed it. I was the ninth backer this year. First time I've ever gotten single digits. So that's fun. And it doesn't, it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless.
Yeah. I
it's
mean,
still kind of
yeah.
fun that I got
unless
on
you're on
that
a podcast to like, you know, where the gimmick is like, who's the number one Riff Crack fan? Speaking of,
before we get into, name that Jeremy and, our awful movie.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. It was real bad.
We have an actual good weekend box office report to look at.
Oh.
Dune Part 2 opened up and brought in a ton of people.
The cinema is back.
$82.5 million for opening weekend.
Oh, my God.
Which is massive. We haven't had that in quite a while, since Avatar, I think. The Bob Marley Movie at number 2, Ordinary Angels at number 3, the episodes 7 and 8 of season 4 of the TV series The Chosen coming in at number 4, and Madam Web dropping to number 5. Yeah, Fathom Events is running a thing. There's a series called The Chosen. It's about the life of Jesus, and they're on season 4, and they've shown the entire season.
I am very familiar with the New Testament. I don't... what are they doing that's running 4 seasons?
I think this season is, like, the whole, like, crucifixion.
Is it the crucifixion? Yeah.
I know, like, Pilate's in it.
Then it's definitely... Oh, yeah. They're killing that guy. He comes back.
Yeah, they showed episodes 1 through 3 for 2 weeks, and then the next 2 weeks was episodes 4 through 6, and then this week and next week is episodes 7 and 8, and it did $3.2 million, which was enough for fourth place because Madam Web.
That is really nothing. That is really interesting to me. Number one, that a religious TV show can outperform a superhero movie, but in the year 2024, however, we do have to remember that it is Madam Web that we're talking about.
Right. Well, Ordinary Angels is also a religious movie, which is in third place. So, but that's got like Hilary Swank and the dude who plays Reacher and like bigger names.
Tom
people.
Cruise?
No, not the Amazon Reacher.
More accurate to the books.
Yes, apparently.
I ruined the New Testament for Citizen Yarn.
I guess Citizen Yarn's not going to finish reading that one.
Yeah, she's not going to finish. She's not going to finish the Gospel of Luke. It's my bad.
You done ruined it, Dave.
Yep. All right. So,
thankfully for you guys, James Wen hasn't really been doing anything, so I've got nothing to talk about.
You guys,
for you, it's for Dave. Mostly lucky for Dave.
My hair looks so much better than it did yesterday. I was watching the video back of our little broadcast, and I looked like garbage. I look so much better tonight. So, all you ladies. Whatever. Okay. Anyway. So name that Jeremy. I did something. I did a little experiment and I said, let's let our audience, our Discord community choose the versus battle. And it's like, okay, here are 6. And here are 6. And I thought it was like a nice, and I went out of my way to pick a nice eclectic selection of movies. And that turned out to be my downfall because, oh boy, ended up the winning, I think it was like Dave the Animals, Double Dragon, Money Plane, The Little Mermaid, Paradise Motel, and something else. Oh, Velvet Smooth was the other one.
Velvet Smooth. Man, it's been a while since I watched that one.
Like these, like we should get a decent, you know, like really cool kind of matchup between any of these two. And the two that ended up winning, I think, were like the two that are the least like each other. Not only are they like the least like each other, in both of these movies, you can't pick, because I tried, you can't pick a quote or riffs that won't immediately identify it as one or the other. Ended up being the Paradise Motel, which literally every line in that you can tell is that, and Money Plane. So not only are they completely different. Yeah, so I think Jeremy's going to have a good night. Like, I tried to find ones that could sound like it was from either. It's not possible.
Well, good. I like that.
Okay, so here we go.
Totally.
Are you ready?
Blow it too now.
Well, after that, I don't know. If, yeah. Okay. So here we go. I'm gonna flip. Okay. Okay. Here's one. Well, Norma, our thruple will have to wait another night.
Wait. What? Say that again.
Well, Norma, our thruple will have to wait another night.
I'm gonna say. See, I told you. I'm already like second guessing myself. I'm just gonna say Paradise Motel.
It is the Paradise Motel. Okay, you're one for one.
Was that the bartender?
Go with. Yes. Okay. It was the scene where the not trucker's woman was flirting with blonde girl. And he like, and bartender okay, yeah. was there. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's the next one. Let it be in the sense of stop committing felonies. Let it be.
Money Plane.
That is the Paradise Motel.
Paradise Motel. I'm just going to go with my first.
Yeah, like kind of like how last time I went with Feeders.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was Feeders first. Then I blew it and said Suburban Sasquatch, and that would have won the whole thing for me. I ended up, you know, whatever. But yeah, go with your first gut. Go with your first gut. What am I saying?
As opposed to my second gut.
Yeah, as opposed to your second gut. What is it? The Klingons have like a redundant whatever. Okay, here's the next one. Man, he hates that guy's head.
That's Money Plane.
That's Money Plane. Okay, so you're 2 for 3. I'd like to retire to my room. I'm feeling a little off.
Paradise
This is
Motel.
The only one that could be either one.
Gut instinct is Paradise Motel, so that's what I'm going.
That is Money Plane.
Yeah.
That was Edge. That was Sir Adam Copeland of the Order of the British Empire. Okay, so I'm doing these all out of order. So, see, we need to do that one. Okay.
I'm 2 for 4 right now, so.
You're 2 for 4, so. Actually, okay. All right. So where are you staying? A coffin filled with soil from your homeland?
That's Paradise Motel. I remember
that's
that
Paradise
line.
Motel. Okay,
I remember
so,
that line.
Yep. All right. So here's the last one. So that's 4 for 5, right? No. That's 3 for 4. 3 for 5. Okay.
3 for 5, yeah.
Okay, so here is the last one. And this one will determine if you know,
if I pass or fail, honestly.
If you pass or fail, yeah. So yeah,
I'm in the same situation you were in last week.
In the versus battle, if it's like if you get you like you have to get 4 to like win.
Yeah, you have to get over 50%. So
yeah, yeah. This is making it's like Calvin Ball. We're making up the rules as we go along. Only it makes sense. Okay, here it is. How can you defy me when I'm wearing my most threatening vest?
Money Plane.
That's Money Plane. That's correct. Okay, good job.
Woo!
It was a little bit harder than I thought it would be, I guess.
Yeah. The one about the room, that one threw me.
Oh, thank you, Citizen Yarn. She said that I looked fine.
Oh, I guess it's time, Dave.
Oh.
I guess it's time for us to talk about this movie right here. Where are you?
Okay, now this movie was bad.
Soul of the Avenger.
That's not the name of it.
That's the original title.
That's, oh.
This title's much better. I like the tagline of
this
too.
Is it though?
One man's soul.
They're both kind of stupid.
Another man's body, an invincible combination.
Oh, that is not true. That is 10,000% untrue.
No, that is not true at all.
I
could not find anything about this movie online. Like, I think I found a handful from people. There's no wiki page.
Yeah. They've been doing a lot of those.
There's
I think the Paradise Motel might have its own wiki page.
Which kind of surprises me because there's some actors in this movie.
Oh, there are some. Well, number one, I think. Well, should we start with like the main character? I think he is. It's Mark.
Our hobo?
Mark Pellegrino. Yeah, the hobo. Mark Pellegrino, aka Jacob from Lost, and lots of other stuff. But I only know him as Jacob. He might have been in Dexter.
He was the devil in Supernatural.
I think he was in the X-Files, too, like in the brain-eating episode.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Decent, well-known. Like, I suppose he's well-known in, like, Hollywood circles, probably. Working television actor.
Yep.
I don't know anybody else. Well, no, there's one other guy, not Cato Kaelin, because whatever. He's only famous Cato Kaelin.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the only other guy I recognized in this was Gerald Akamura. And he is, of course, Akamura in Samurai Cop. And he was also very strange. I didn't know this until I think Riff Tracks released it. And I noticed him for the first time in like 30 years. He was in Mortal Kombat.
Also in...
He's in one of my
favorite movies. Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the.
Is that the guy? Is that the one with
He's got the hatchets.
Jack something. I know Matthew J. Elliott wrote an officially licensed sequel to that.
And I cannot get my hands on a copy anywhere. I'm so mad because I would love to read it. Yes. Big Trouble.
Oh, I think I have it on
Mother
Kindle.
Russia.
Yeah, something like that. It's a funny book.
Yeah. We also have Richard
Matthew
Norton
J.
in this movie, and he's been in a few things that you may have seen before, especially a little movie called Cyber Tracker, which Riff Tracks has done. But he's been in a ton of martial arts movies, a lot of them with Cynthia Rothrock, who played China O'Brien. I'm looking through the list.
Yeah, China
right now.
O'Brien, yeah.
He's in a lot of movies with Cynthia Rothrock. Rage and Honor. He was in Kung Fu The Legend Continues, which some people around
our age
might remember.
I thought you were going to say Honor and Glory for some reason.
Well, I had to do a double take when I saw that earlier. I'm like, what? That's not.
It's onomatopoetically.
He's also in another Rift movie, Gymkata. That we finally got a couple years ago for Just the Jokes.
4 years
ago. And then our other, I guess, main character, Khan
the
Wu,
Ghost?
Played by James Liu, who actually has a few awards under his belt, including a Emmy Award for the stunt coordination in Luke Cage.
Ooh.
The Netflix Marvel show. And he's also got some Screen Actors Guild Awards for being part of the stunt ensemble.
Oh, okay.
Avengers Endgame.
He better not.
Mulan,
he better not have any. He better not have any Screen Actors Guild Awards for acting.
Now, most of his stuff is stunt work. He's also in some other Rift stuff, namely Star Raiders: The Adventures of Saber Rain.
That makes sense.
He's one of the stunt guys in that movie, which I thought was kind of funny. Because when you load up his IMDb page, like, you know how there's always like a trailer there? That's the trailer that's there. I just saw Casper Van Dien's face pop up. And then, of course,
Casper Van Dien.
Cato Kaelin, whose character
I suppose we should talk about that.
Is Cato in this movie. But he's in the movie for, 2 minutes, maybe?
I don't know. Like, he does a little dance on a car, and then he's gone.
He does, like, eight flips in a row in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I have the martial arts style known as editing. Which I thought
they
was
all
a
do.
Riff. And then they make like some these jokes about OJ and...
Yeah, well, I mean, come on, you're obliged to at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, what else is he? I mean, like, you know, that guy goes, like, I looked him up. He goes to, like, conventions, like Comic Cons and stuff, and sets up tables, and people go, like, meet Cato Kaelin, like
how Virgil used to do. Virgil used to go to that stuff.
Nobody
would go see him.
I saw
Rip
Virgil,
by the way. Rest in peace.
What's that?
I said rest in peace. Rip Virgil.
Oh, is he dead?
Yeah, he died a couple days ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I kind
of. And I was just about to make fun of him. Ooh, wow, poor guy.
That would have been another Wonderful Dave moment.
Yeah, look, I can't keep up with every washed up wrestler from the 90s. That's like literally all of them.
He was 61 years old. He died 6 days ago.
Oh my god! Of what?
Being Virgil, I don't know. Probably cancer. It's always cancer or heart disease.
It's always cancer. Or unless you're Matthew Perry and mysteriously drown in your pool somehow.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Anyway.
So this movie.
Yeah.
Is about this guy, Khan Wu. He was part of some, you know, dark organization, the Dark Dragons or Shadow Dragons or whatever the heck.
The Black Dragon.
Called.
I remember it's the Black Dragon because that's the same organization that Kano runs in Mortal Kombat.
Well, so he was a part of that. Okay.
Yeah.
He tried to leave because their evil queen sent out to... This is, like, just...
This is so dumb. Like, okay, guys. It's a paradox. Like how complicated it is, you would think that would be like, oh, this is great. It's so much fodder for us. But, like, the level of complicatedness that it gets also increases the level of, like, oh, my God, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it just gets, like, it just is meaningless.
It's, like, this is a movie you're like, just like, stop talking. Nobody cares.
Yeah. Early on, I was like, oh, my God, I don't care about any of this.
This movie does have it all, though, Dave.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. It's got mystic powers, alcohol withdrawal, possessions, magic swords, hobo sex. Lots of F-bombs, horrible editing, and a nearly incomprehensible story. Like, you can't.
You can't follow it.
It doesn't make sense. So she sends her servant Sir Xavier.
Oh, are you going to try to make sense of this?
This is the only plot summary I could find. Okay.
Okay.
To go kill Khan Wu, While they're fighting, his Khan Wu's soul is somehow transferred into the body of the hobo Earl.
Was that his name?
Earl. His name was Earl, yes. His name is Earl. And now this hobo, this bum, has he knows kung fu like Keanu, and the evil queen tracks Earl down because she somehow knows that Khan Wu's soul is trapped in his body, and she's like, "You need to go help find him, and I'll pay you all this money." And while he's out there, he's still getting drunk. The dude's like appearing in a vision in the bottom of his
bottom of the glasses somehow. Yeah. Like that's.
And then he starts being visited by the ancient spirits, AKA Akamura.
And, so it's exactly like No Retreat, No Surrender.
Almost.
Yes. I mean, that was fun to watch.
And then he fights the guy, Sir Xavier, and all these other magic ninja kung fu guys that jump out of nowhere doing that reverse jumping technique. And the dude just appears back out of his body like through a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And then they're like all fighting other people, and then they're like, "Only one of you can stay." And Earl's like, "All right, I'm out."
Yeah,
and then he just backs off into the darkness, and that's it. That's the whole movie right there, guys.
Yeah. So,
in a nutshell,
like, okay, so I think Earl was supposed to die. Like, okay, so the way that Kung Fu Man, like recruits Earl, and like this is where I gave up. Earl is watching Jacob from Lost is watching this showdown between Australian Man and Kung Fu Man.
Yeah.
And he's just like, you know, like, stuff has been sent, like, you know, like the script, they must have got the script. I'm like, "Oh, really? You want me to do this? I'm a respected television actor." Oh, fine, whatever.
I don't know if he
somehow
was at this
ends
point
up
yet
falling. He ends up falling down an elevator shaft, or does Jacob fall down the elevator shaft? Because I think he does. Doesn't he have to like be dead in order for?
I think he had to be dead. Yeah.
So if he's dead, then like why does he need a dead body if Kung Fu Man is alive? He's not the dead one. Why does he need another body of this other guy who's a bum who doesn't know martial arts? There doesn't seem to be a reason that number one. Okay, he totally like you would think that the only way that this would work is if he set them, because he goes, he like pays him some money, like, "Here, come with me. I'm going to need you later." You have to assume that Kung Fu Man set him up to get killed in that elevator shaft.
I mean, it would.
So that he could take his body.
It would seem that way.
Did he take his body to hide from the evil queen?
Yes. And then she was going to try
get
Kung Fu Man's spirit out of Earl's body and back into his own body, and she knew that would kill Earl if she did it. But then when Earl does it, he's fine.
So Akamura shows up at the end and is like, "Okay, only one of you can stay."
Yeah.
Why? Because, like,
this movie does not make any sense at all.
Wait, when he falls down the elevator shaft, why? Thank you, Citizen Urine. Why did how does his soul I guess he I dream of genies into like his ear or something and just hangs out in his body? Like, that's the only thing I can think of that makes any sense. And somehow, like, that revives his body.
Yeah.
But, okay, so.
I have no idea, Dave.
Okay.
And I was watching this movie. I didn't have my phone in my hand at all. I just, it's, again, it's one of those, like, nobody cares. Let's just.
This is typically your kind of movie. Like, all the martial arts. Kind of like I thought for sure like, okay, I don't care, but it doesn't matter because Jeremy got my back. But apparently you didn't care either.
No, this like, movie was just I couldn't get into the movie.
You can't.
There were some hilarious riffs that like I'm cackling.
Oh yeah,
out loud at, and I know my wife in the other room is like, there's something wrong with that man in there, but. There's some amazing. There's one line read in this movie that I love, and the Khan's girlfriend is sleeping in bed after a very emotional. I just can't stop thinking about him, and she's sleeping. She can't stop thinking about Kung Fu Man, they were in love, and
but he's not dead.
No, but he's gone.
Oh, okay.
And he's like laying back. They got him on this thing to make him look like he's floating. He like floats into frame, and he's like, "Seek out the one who searches." And then the girl just goes, "Okay, honey." Like, I just absolutely loved that line reading, and I know the guys did too because they were all laughing from it. But and then they make a joke about it a scene later, but I just, even the fighting in this is not entertaining.
No, well, I mean, the fighting is that I think there's this over reliance on this kind of like if you've seen some of these Chinese martial arts movies, they're very reliant on like super cheesy, like in camera effects, like, you know, reversing the film to like make them look like they're like jumping up when they really just jump down and they're just like faced the other way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then, you know, like, but also whoosh, like just people flying, like Peter Pan, I think Mike had a riff, like Peter Pan saw this movie and said, I think there's too much flying. There's a lot of like flying through the air, which is a big trope of like Chinese martial arts movies, just like ludicrous kind of cheesy things. And they do a lot of that, only they do it extremely poorly because Americans are doing this. Guys, leave it to the Chinese. They know how to make their own cheesy martial arts movies.
Yeah.
But that doesn't save it. It's just bad. It's not interesting or fun to watch. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, I think, like, one of the more shocking moments in this movie. That is when Jacob from Lost is like, he's trying to figure out what's wrong with him, and I think he's like hanging out by like a car or something.
Yeah. This is right after he's like possessed. It's like the next morning or something.
And something's going on, and you can hear someone like moaning or like something. It's like you could tell something is going on. And he gets really mad, like, I'm angry now. And so he goes over to the sound, and it cuts to a park bench where a hobo is banging. Sorry, moms, banging a prostitute on a city bench. They're both like fully clothed. Like, what's that thing? What's that term in pornography where they're like clothed, female, nude, male, or something like that? I don't know. CFNM. I don't know. But they're both completely clothed.
Like, he's got his pants down a little bit.
Yeah, he's got his pants down, and yeah. And he's in, So, like, and then Jacob from Lost just gets really pissed. He's like, picks him up off the hooker and just like throws him across the street. And the hooker is like, what is going on? Right. So she like pulls her dress down or whatever. And at first, like, I think she tries to intervene, but then she is.
She starts Jacob from Lost. Jacob.
Yeah. I start cheering on Jacob from Lost.
She's like, yeah.
He has the he has the hobo over, like over a bridge, and the hooker comes up and is like, "Yeah, kill him, kill that bastard." And it's just like, you don't know what he did to me. It's like, I know exactly what he did to you.
We can see what he was doing to you.
We all saw and heard it. It was revolting.
Yeah.
So and. Of course, we have to. This is the comparison draws itself to Rat's Night of Terror and the sleeping bag humping scene, which was also revolting. Although I think that might have been more revolting. This is just like,
this was just kind of a thing, and I was like, oh, come on, guys, really?
Yeah,
and
like, but I didn't know that that was a thing. That was a thing in like L.A. Is this movie set in L.A.? It's definitely Southern California.
I think it's L.A. I'm pretty sure because they show the what's the big aqueduct thing.
They have that in 24. Yeah, the famous aqueduct where Jack Bauer. You know,
and in Terminator, it's in Terminator.
Also, the Dutch angles in this movie, you need to stop with that.
They call it out right away, too. They're just in Dutch angle town.
Like, the cinematography in this movie, especially early on, I think they got tired of it as the movie went along. Yeah. They'd be like, you know, we don't have to do all these crazy shots. And they're like, we're not getting paid enough for this. But just like, not just the Dutch angles, but like, there's like a scene where they're pouring like the holy liquid on them or something. And they get from like the POV of a second bum. And they're like, here you go. This is going to send your soul straight to hell. And they like are pouring it like on the camera. There's a lot of shots like that, that it's just like, it's very disorienting and it's not great. And it just looked like it was a pain in the ass to shoot, and it's not fun to look at. It's very confusing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of things about this movie that's not fun to look at, to watch, or to pay attention to, or anything. It's just not good at all.
No, it's not good. I'm not okay. Look, I think in like. Pantheon of like movies that like we didn't enjoy, I won't say I hate this. I won't say I resented its existence.
No.
Like, of course, Copper Mountain or anything like that.
Oblivion.
But I'm not in a rush to rewatch this one. I don't think it's going to be a Riff Trax classic. I think this is filler. That's what this was.
Well, they didn't want to detract too much from the
from
the
Point Break, yeah.
Release that came out 5 days after this riff did, because this riff wasn't released on a Friday. This was released.
Yeah, it was released on Thursday on February 29th. Yeah, which I think maybe that was it. I don't know, but you know,
it's not. It's like the riffs are very, very good.
Oh, the riffs are good. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're a completist, go ahead and get this. I mean, of course you're going to do that if you're a completist.
I mean, I would recommend watching it at least one time.
Yeah,
but you don't
have
to buy it right away. Wait till it's on sale it's on Friends or something in a year.
It goes pretty fast.
It doesn't
have
like
a Copper Mountain effect. Yeah,
you just.
But you're just like I don't care. Guys, I do not care about this movie.
No.
Should we rate this thing?
Sure. It's not going to get a very big score.
What else is there to say? You know?
Nothing. There's nothing else to say. I have a feeling this is going to, it's not.
It's going to be pretty low. It's not going to
be
like.
Low.
It's not going to be a crater, like, I don't low, think. But yeah.
It's going to be low. So, plot.
Zero.
I'm thinking 0.5. Just okay. Because there was at least some semblance of something, even if you just didn't want to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
There is something that kind of peeks through
there
a little
bit. There is something happening that is just be like, yeah, there's like some kind of demon war happening, some kind of ancient thing, and someone from Australia is there that works for someone else.
With a magic sword that he controls, he can fly through the air. I did not hate that scene where he kills the one guy with the sword, where he's like waiting for him in his office, and he's like, "You know where Khan Wu is, and you must die." And he just like flips his sword out, and the end of the sword has like a dragon face carved into it. And after he killed the guy and then made it fly back into the sheath, they showed just the face on the sword, and it kind of like turned towards the camera a little bit. And I think it might have been Kevin just said, "It's a living," like, from the Flintstones. Loved that. That was one of my better moments in this. Acting not great.
Oh.
And we know some of these people can act.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I know. We at least Jacob from Mark Pellegrino. I mean, we know he can act.
Yeah,
but I think that like I think it's really got more to do with the script and like the concept. So I mean I'm not gonna punish the actors for that. So too.
Yeah. How about the dialogue?
Oh. I'm gonna go 2. There was nothing like horrible. It wasn't like Paradise Motel. It wasn't like I need these things.
Beautiful people have to stick together.
Yeah, that gets like 0. You know,
there was some language in this too that you don't normally hear.
There was like blank sucker and
that one. I was whoa! Did we really just
your
that
mother,
was right before?
Yeah.
Right after he punched Earl in the stomach and Earl puked all over him.
Your mother blanks, blanks, and blank. Yeah.
it's almost that level. All right. We were already kind of talking about it a little bit. Cinematography.
Oh, you know, like, I think I got to go 1 because, goddamn it.
Those Dutch angles.
Those Dutch angles were horrible. They were so painful. It's just like stop. Just stop.
Yeah. This one's gonna be a little worse than cinematography, the editing. This had so many jump cuts in it. Many jump cuts.
I think like I'll save that for effects. I'm gonna go 2 with editing. I mean like we've seen editing recently.
Yes, this is the sliding
much,
refract
much
scale,
worse.
Yes.
Much, much worse than this.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it was, but I know that we've seen horrific editing recently.
Yeah. Effects is next, so.
I'm gonna go 2 with this one again. Like the effects, like just with the drinks and showing their faces in the drinks, and also the in camera effects where you reverse the film to make it look like they're just like going up someplace, like it wasn't good, but it was, you know,
those are some of my favorite usually when they do that, when they're obviously jumping down off of something and the film is reversed.
Yeah,
anything where they do a reverse film shot.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, but this is just
always
like
tell.
Stop.
Yeah. Sound and music. Do you remember anything from
this? I don't. See, now, like, that's another common thing lately is that we can't remember any of the music.
Yeah. I
one.
I can remember the song It's from The Little Mermaid. I can remember the songs from Paradise Motel.
Yeah, this. I can't, like, there's nothing, nothing sticks out.
The directing. Now, I will say this. The guy who directed this directed, well, one of the directors, because there was two directors for this. One of them directed one other movie, and one of them directed two other movies. And I looked up those two other movies, and they are apparently worse than this.
Well, this isn't the worst thing. It's just dumb.
It's, yeah.
It's just boring and forgettable, and who gives a crap? But, I mean, I can imagine something being way worse than this.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the directing, I don't know, too.
The personality of the movie itself. Did it have any character or personality?
My brain checked out so early that, same. Like, you know...
That doesn't bode well for this category.
Yeah. Where it's just... Yeah, but... does it keep your attention? It barely cut me. I left the room many times and came back to it and just, like, left it running. It's just like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm not going to miss anything.
I'll be gone for 2 minutes. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I got to go one just because, like, there's, like, nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it has all the elements. I mean, you have... Like it has the ingredients to have a personality, but they didn't mix those ingredients correctly. You know what I mean?
And then, of course, we've already mentioned how good the riffs were in this one. So,
oh, yeah,
the riffs did make this movie. They did save this movie. I don't know that they made it watchable entirely.
No.
But they saved the movie.
It's an experience. I don't. Like I said, I don't resent this movie. Like Cats or Copper Mountain or Things. I think there may have been some more recently, where I was just like, this was just annoying. Yeah.
Well, we got 12 and a half points out of a possible, 45?
So did that score better than Terminus?
Yes, I do believe so.
Wow. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Hey, this at least didn't have any, oily baby men in it.
Oh, yeah, no. So there it did have disgusting hobo sex in it, so, I mean, which is worse.
Yeah. One more quick update on the Kickstarter. It is now at $341,000, less than $10,000 away. From completing the goal in a day and a half. That's pretty dang good. Of course, it is Point Break, so I would not have expected anything else, honestly.
Yep.
But, I think that's going to do it for us today.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything else to really talk about.
Yeah, so next week is Dave That Riff. Do we want to, like, make it a thing where we let people choose? I mean, I don't know. I'll let you do that. I like that, like, we have the ability to have what's it called, interaction or interaction. Audience engagement, yeah, with that game. But this was just like, I think my selection was too eclectic for it to be, like, really effective. So
I'll post a few in there, but I might narrow it down to a few,
yeah,
at least kind of similar movies. Yeah. Like, not anything
Flowers.
Like Lost Shark or Last Shark and you know, like Jurassic Shark or anything like that.
Yeah. Josh Flowers was actually asking about that. It's be like, is it? He actually made that example, like that exact example. Like what about two shark movies? So it's like, I think that might be a little too difficult if we did it like that. I think similar movies, like in similar veins, like maybe like Dinosaurus and Zindy the Swamp Boy.
Cool.
Like I think that like that you could do that and still have it be, you know, it could still be doable.
Yeah.
But I think maybe something like that is like a little things that are maybe like a little too identical, like Max Havoc 1 versus Max Havoc 2, I don't think we can do.
No. Or like Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny versus the live show, which was a different movie.
It was a live show of Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
Yeah.
They would all have to be from that, like that middle section. They would all have to be
either
like,
Thumbelina or Jack and the Beanstalk.
Either Thumbelina, yeah. We could do that. That actually sounds like it might be fun. Is this from Thumbelina or Jack and the Beanstalk? I would be down for that if you want to do that.
We'll see. Maybe I'll put those in there. But yeah, that's gonna do it for us today, folks. If you liked hanging out with us today, make sure that you drop a follow here on Twitch. That way, you get notified anytime we go live. Of course, if you want to support the podcast or can support the podcast, you can either subscribe on Twitch, or you can go to patreon.com/trueblueriffcast, and you can drop a couple dollars a month there. Otherwise, you can follow the podcast on Twitter, formerly known as X, at TBRiffcast, and you can find me pretty much anywhere at PB and Awesome.
And you can check me out. I'm Dave. I restored my Twitter account because all those people that I was fighting with forgot that I existed. So I was like, okay.
24-hour news cycle, Dave.
Yeah. So it's at D Chadwick Author there on Twitter, formerly known as X. You can check me out on Amazon and Audible.
All right, guys. We will see you next Tuesday right here on the True Blue Riffcast.
Rock tight, aye.